Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to be here, Lord. Thank you for your love for us. And Lord, as you know, I'm humbled to be here in this position. Lord, I don't deserve to be standing here in front of these folks. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to do it. I just pray that you would bless what is said. I pray that you would say what's once said, Lord, and help move me out of the way. And Lord, these folks came to hear from you. They didn't come to hear from me. And Lord, I pray that you just wash me, cleanse me in your blood. And Lord, I just thank you for being so good to us. Pray that you just be with the team members from Malawi, get them back home safely. Some are probably traveling by vehicle from Chicago, but just be with them, Lord. I pray that you just continue to be with the Robinsons and all the work that was done in Malawi. I pray that you just bless the work there. And Lord, just thank you for this time. Bless what we do here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1, through desire, a man. So this morning, you may have figured out what we're going to look at. And I know this can be a tough topic as far as so many different directions, so many different ways that you can go with this. But I want to look at the word desire. Desire has been on my mind for a while this past year. I heard a message on it earlier this year and something similar to this. And there was a question that was asked, and it made me to start to think about it. And I know, you know, with desire and all that, and we're just going to maybe scratch the surface a little bit. But I just hope it's just going to be a blessing to you guys, maybe just an encouragement, just a different way to think about things. But the question, what started all this for me was a question. Why do I do what I do? And then I take it a step further. Do I desire to do what I do? Do we desire to do what we do? And it can go both ways as far as, we know life as a Christian, right? It's a great thing. I would not trade it for any other thing that this world has to offer. But, like it was said on Wednesday night, we have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, Brother Steve went through a list in his, what he's thankful for him personally. And each one of us has our own thing, right? But it's all collective. We can all collectively probably say the same things in a general. But what tends to happen, I've noticed for myself, is, you know, we get busy, right? We get in a routine. We get just doing and living our Christian daily life. And what I've noticed for myself is sometimes things become mundane. And that's kind of where I'm going to kind of just talk a couple things about that and just kind of help just think through some stuff as far as how to just continue to have a desire. We can do what we do because we do it. That's what we know to do. We've been doing it for that so long. A lot of us in here were raised in church. We do it because that's just what we've been doing, right? But do you desire to do it? There's a difference. And you might say, you know, we have to be careful because we can lose that desire. We can lose that. And, you know, what's frustrating is it just kind of started after coming back from Malawi in April is, you know, what's frustrating is you can go and spend 2 weeks doing something that's so grand and that's all you're focused on, right? And you can come back and you can just go back to your daily routine and get so discouraged within a week, the wind's out of your sails. And it's just like, why do I even do this sometimes? You know, and some of that thought process can be, even as you're leading up to doing something, whether it's you're preparing a message or preparing to teach a Sunday school class, preparing to go out on the streets down at the state fair, whatever it might be, doing something out of the ordinary for the Lord, it's like the opposition that goes into it, you're like, why do I even bother? Why do I even do what I do? What do I really don't desire to do it, so why should I do it? And we get thinking that way, and it's just, it can be frustrating sometimes. And, you know, the things of life come, you know, so wind right out of your sail, right? We get discouraged. And you're like, some people might say, well, how can you say that? Speaking of a campaign, for instance, because it's still fresh on our mind, you just witnessed such a great thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. You should be fired up for God. And that's all true. That's all true. We should be. And we should have a renewed spirit. But, you know, let's look over at Galatians 5. What does it tell us in Galatians 5? I'm going to steal Brother Spurgeon's line. I'm going to have you turn because you're all looking at me like you want something to do. That's what he said last night. Galatians chapter 5. And what's it say? In verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But here it is, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And so, that's what's going on. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on between the flesh and the spirit. And we learned about the battle on Sunday night. And the battle, someone's jealous. Someone's jealous over what's going on. And so we know the flesh is weak, right? And in a battle, the weaker one always gives way. And before you know it, we have lost the desire to fight. Matthew 26, verse 41 reminds us, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And like I said, we heard about the fighting the battle on Sunday night and being on our knees to pray, and that's where we need to be. And a lot of times that's where it starts, is just when we're not on our knees praying. So all that kind of the introduction as to what has started this in my mind. So I just got a couple things here to share. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, just to look at it again. Like I said, I know desire, there's so many different avenues, so many different ways that you can go with this, but I'm looking at it from the aspect of why I do what I do, and do I have the desire? The main thing is, do I desire to do what I do? And we have to, that's a work that has to continually be done in our lives, in our heart, so that we continue to have a desire to do what we're doing. And I'll get to that later. So Proverbs 18:1, through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So I'm looking at this as it can go two different ways. Firstly, separating himself from the things of God. And we all know what that can be. One thing, and it's the biggest thing that can cause us to not have desire, is sin. And I can't lose my salvation, and I'm thankful for that. But I can lose my desire to serve the Lord in the capacity that he has given to me. And I'm going to switch tense here, from I to you to me. But this is, I'm preaching to myself. And so you guys can interject or change it to fit to you how you would see fit for yourself. But sin can remove the desire to be a Christian. And we got a great example in the Bible, right? Where are we going to go? Genesis chapter 3. Turn over to Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at it real quick. We know the story here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So here you see the what happened. We know what happened after that. Sin came into mankind, and this is where it started. It started with desire. She desired to have that fruit. She saw that tree. That'll make me wise. And, you know, just think along this line with me. You know, Eve, I'm guessing she was probably off by herself. You've probably heard this preached. If you've listened to much preaching, you've probably heard this analogy already. But Eve had gotten herself off and alone and got admiring the tree. And guess what? The devil comes in there and starts whispering in her ear, starts working on her. Maybe she got out of the fellowship of God for a time. Maybe she started slacking on her spiritual life. I'm just turning this into a practice. They were living in a perfect time, right? So there's spiritual, but I'm turning this into us for today. Maybe she gotten out of the fellowship of God. Maybe she started slacking on her spiritual life. We all do that. We all slack. I'll be the first to admit, we all slack. Maybe she started taking church lately. And I'm not preaching about church or anything like that. We all know. But maybe it was lightly. She was taking it lightly. Whatever it was, she was alone. And the devil got in there and was starting to work on her. She separated herself, and her desire changed. When we separate ourselves from the things of God, our desire is going to change. We're going to start looking at things. Things are going to start catching our eye. She saw that tree. She saw the tree and said, "That's going to make me wiser. That'll make me wiser than my husband because he's not." Well, then she decided to share it. But you know, you think of yourself. You're out. Let's just say you're out planting a field, and you're alone, and you're doing your job. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But then you start looking off on the horizon, or you start looking on the other side of the fence, and you see something over there that catches your eye. You're like, nah, I better not go over there. And you're going about, and then you're coming, you know, let's just say you're planting one seed at a time. You're getting closer to the fence, and that thing's getting, you're seeing more and more of it. And you're starting like, ooh, that's looking a little more interesting. I might want to go. And before you know it, you're on the other side of the fence. And you're so involved and so ingrained in that thing that you're like, how did I even get here? And a side note that's not in the notes here is the decision we make to chase that desire, we don't even care to think of what that decision is going to cost everybody around us. And Eve for sure didn't think about the decision she made to take that fruit of what it was going to do, in this case, for mankind. And we need to be conscious of whatever decision we decide to do with whatever aspect of life, how is it going to affect somebody else? How is it going to affect my family, my friends, my church, everything we, how is it going to affect? How is somebody going to see? How is it going to affect somebody else? And it's taken, I wish I would have known that or paid attention enough to know that at a younger age. And it's just, we get so ingrained, we get so narcissistic about ourselves that we don't care how it affects anybody else. And that's the wrong way to approach things. What happens? We take our eyes, when we take our eyes off Jesus Christ and start looking around, something else is going to catch our eye. And like I said, before we know it, we've traveled down a path that we shouldn't even be on. We start seeking and intermeddling with the wrong wisdom. And boy, how easy it is when you get alone and you start to desire the wrong things. And that's when it comes in, is when you're alone, and I'm not trying to have you rehash anything in your mind or anything like that, but when sin enters, it doesn't enter when you're in the throng of having fun, when you're enjoying yourself. It enters when you're alone and just pondering, maybe not even thinking. You might just be sitting there and just resting, and the next thing you know, things start entering. And if you're not careful, like I've said before, we have an avenue that is in our hands that can run us down a road so fast that you don't even recall how you even got there. You think people are speeding out there on the interstate. Boy, people are speeding so much faster from their eyes to their hands. It's unbelievable. So how about another instance? How about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11? We know the story, where he was supposed to be at battle. But what did he do? He stayed home. And when he was alone on the roof of the king's house, something caught his eye. Something caught his eye. And his desire was in the wrong place. And we know the whole story there. And how many people it affected, all that stuff. We know that. So all that to say is sin can remove the desire to do what we do, and sin can remove the desire to be a Christian. We need not to lose the fellowship of God. That's where we need to be. We need to stay strong in the battle. And you've heard this before. The more you deny yourself, the more you deny the flesh, the better off we're going to be. The better off you are. And it's hard to deny it. It really is. Because sin looks good for a season. Sin looks good for a season. All right. I'm going to read Proverbs again here. Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 1. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. So secondly, I want to take it and look at it from this aspect of separating yourself or himself from the things of this world. I believe that separation can go two ways in that aspect there. You know, we know this stuff. This is basic foundational things, but it's good to be reminded of them. And separating myself from this world will help me have the desire to do what I do. Let's go over 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. It tells us right here, we're admonished to be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We know this, right? But we know that this world wants to drag us down. We know this world wants us to be a part of it. It wants us to intermingle with it. And we have to. We have to, right? It's been said many times. You guys have heard many good preaching on this. But we have to attend the affairs of life. We just have to. You have to survive. I get it. But what we should not allow it to do is to dictate what we do for Christ. It can be really easy for us to allow it to do that. Allow it to control us and how we do things and how we live for Christ. And like I already said, it can be discouraging, right? It can be really discouraging sometimes and cause you to think, why bother? Why bother? And I've said it a lot about that. And it seems a lot easier to go with the crowd. It surely can. And go with the wrong crowd, I could say. You know, hey, if I'm minding my own business, I'm just going along with everybody else, no one's going to yell at me for passing out gospel tracts. No one's going to yell at me for trying to share the gospel with them. And some of you may have experienced that this week already. I was downtown St. Paul last week, and I had a man, I'm assuming he's homeless, but he's digging through the back of my truck. So I approached him, and he wanted food and stuff like that, and money, and I don't carry cash on me, so I didn't give him any cash. And he got a little, back and forth a little bit, but I went and grabbed a Spurgeon track, and I said, hey, brother, I got something for you that will be better for you, something eternal. I don't want that. I'm good. I want to eat. I want food. Well, it's like, if I had given you a dollar, you would have probably been happy. But I got something that's eternal that'll last. That'll be eternal for you. And you're just I'm like, well. And I was with another co-worker, and he's like, he wouldn't take that. I said, no, he didn't want it. He goes, wow. Well, it's his loss. And this, so it opened the door. It showed this other guy that he's like, wow, you do that? And so it was kind of neat to see like that all just transpire. And it just, but, yeah, so you don't know who's watching. Side note. The world will, I said this not that long ago, but the world's going to chew you up and spit you out so fast. You won't even know it. Anybody know what sugar cane is? This came to my mind. We were eating sugar cane in Malawi. Rip a piece off, chew it, you get the nectar out of it, spit it out, and there it lies to rot. And it's just like that. That's what the world will do. Just think of a stick of sugar cane. It'll chew you up, suck out of you what it wants, and spit you out. And there you're left to be trampled over, to rot in the gutter, and you're useless. You're useless. Speaking from the sugar cane, the Lord can change you, right? So you say, well, what can help me to have the desire to be a Christian? What can help me to desire to do what I do? And I thought about this and so on, but Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. I can start with this. This is pretty easy, I think. Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verse number 1 down through verse number 10. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. But what can help you have the desire to serve Christ is your affection. Where's your affection at? Is your affection on Jesus Christ? Or is your affection set here on things on the earth? Where's your affection? Think of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now, this is speaking to new Christians, I get it. And we're supposed to grow beyond this point. But I bring this up to say this, is think about yourself when you first got saved. Think about yourself when you started to get to have the desire to know the truth. I'm thankful enough. I thank the Lord that I had the privilege to get saved at a young age. But I still had to grow and mature into it in a way to make it for myself. And I have to have the desire. There came a point in my life where I needed to make a decision, that turning point to be, this is it. This is what I want. This is the truth. Yes, I was saved at a young age, and I'm thankful for that, but I still had to make it real for myself. Some of you were saved at an older age, and it became more real a lot sooner than maybe myself, or a lot of us that may have been saved at a young age. And so whenever that time was, is think about that time and how you desired to know so much, how you desired to learn so much more about the Lord, more about what the Bible says, and your zeal was so great. And then as you grew and matured, our zeal level should have actually grown with us, but what happens? It somewhat declines, and we kind of get lazy because knowledge goes to our head. Our head starts getting big, and we start having to go through the doorway sideways so we don't hit our head on the door. Stuff like that gets in there, and next thing you know, it's like, nah, I'm good. And now your zeal is gone, and now you're just doing it because you do it. You don't have the desire anymore. But look at in verse number 3, it says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So follow up verse number 2 with verse number 3. And I never really looked at it until now. We always think, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Semicolon. Means there's more. And who has not tasted that the Lord is gracious? That alone, every day, should drive you to desire to do more for him. That alone. And he has been so good to us, and it was like it was Brother Steve said on Wednesday night, the Lord has been so good, he's allowed us to do so much, he's been so gracious to us, and for how we treat him on a daily basis, it's pretty humbling to think about how good he still is to us. It's convicting. It really is. It should show us the love he has for us. If I treated my dad, if I treated my dad the way I treat Jesus Christ, God the Father, my dad it would not go well. And you could probably say that with your own kids, right? It would not go well. But the Lord's gracious to us. He just keeps giving us chance after chance after chance. And yes, we're sealed, and we got all that. Praise the Lord for that. But the fellowship thing is just something to be savored. It really is. And so what do we never need to lose the desire of the Word of God. That's where it all starts. We need to have the desire to get to get in this book, have the desire to be in church, be in under the preaching, because that's what helps shape us. That's what helps sharpen us. Just like a baby wants the milk. And sometimes it's refreshing. I know I don't need milk for my growth and all that stuff, but it's refreshing to have a cold glass of milk. It really is. I enjoy it. And sometimes I desire to have a cold glass of milk, just to the point where it's not freezing. That's how cold I like it. Anyways, side note. Some people don't like milk. Some people don't drink it, whatever. But we should have the desire for that, for the Word of God. The milk is the Word of God is our milk to us, and we still need that. I mean, we still need calcium. We still need stuff like that to help with our bones. We still need that on a daily basis, right? Just like we need that milk, we need that calcium or that vitamin C, whatever it is, we need this on a daily basis. Amen. And I'll be the first to admit, it's not a daily basis sometimes. And it's sad to admit that, but that's the truth. It's the truth. And so the more we need this, the more we grow. The more calcium we have in our body, the more faster our nails grow, right? Simple stuff. And so the more we need this, the stronger we get. They say as you get older, your bones get weaker, you need to take more calcium, whatever. Well, as we get older in the Lord, the more we learn, like Brother Spurgeon said last night, the older we get, the more we should realize the less we know. The older we get, the more we should realize that's the less we know. And how do we know more? It's right here. It's right here. Pretty simple in my mind. Never forget where you came from. Also, don't forget where you could be. That's the sad part. That's the sad part. See, it's for some it might be easier to not forget where they came from, but just be cautious of where you could be, of where you could be. If we don't desire to want the truth or to keep the truth in our life would be a wreck. It really would. And if you don't believe me, you can just get yourself out there and observe some folks in the world that don't have the truth, and see what and have a conversation with them and see what they're trusting. Learn, see what they're putting their hope and faith in, and you'll find out really quick that they're just grasping at whatever they can. They're grasping at what sounds good for today. We don't have, well, thank God we don't have to do that. But if we don't heed and we don't desire to be in here, that could be us. That could be us. Like it's been said, the only difference between us and the world out there is we're in here. Amen. Is we're in here. Verse number 3, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious and he's done mighty things in our life. And it's really opened my eyes when I've been getting more involved and doing more for Christ and doing more for the Lord Jesus Christ, of seeing him just do more for us and be more gracious to us. I just can't get over it. So I'm gonna say it. Don't get here he goes again. But when you go on a mission field and serve in the capacity that we do with the Campaigns for Christ, you see the Lord doing things that you would not see on a daily basis. And I know there's folks here that can't go and stuff like that, and you're not, we need people here praying. There's no doubt about it. All that stuff does not happen without folks here praying. Us there are just, we're reaping the benefit of everybody else praying. But it's so emotional to see that. When the pitchers first started coming out after the first meeting, it's just, I was driving and looking at the pitchers, and my eyes started watering, and I had to set it down and wait till I could stop. But just the emotion of seeing that happen after being there and knowing what it's like, it was just, I couldn't control. I don't know. It was just, it's unbelievable. I was watching one of the camp videos when the teens went to camp, and the invitation was given, and all those young folks coming down and just filling the altar, and just, I don't know, I just started crying. My wife's like, "What's wrong with you?" And I don't know. I normally don't cry. And it's just seeing that, it just does something for you. The Lord is so good, and He's so gracious, and He allows us to be able to see stuff like that. And the least I can do is desire to serve Him better, desire to do what I do, and desire to be a Christian. Like I said, we've had many examples. And the privilege, it is a privilege. The privilege we have to serve Him should help us desire to do what we do. And like I said, we'll take it one step farther. Desire to do more for Him and for the cause of Christ. To have that desire to do more. Bottom line, I'll sum it up here. Bottom line is this. And this is very foundational, very basic in that essence, but get the sin out of your life. It's got to start there. Get the sin out of your life. And get in where the Word of God is preached and taught. Because that'll help us. We can sit and read and read and read and read, which is good. But if we're not sitting under preaching and teaching, how are we? That just opens things up on a broader scale. And that is a key, is get the sin out of your life and get in the Word of God. And get in where it's preached and taught. And we need each other. We need each other. Right? Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need each other. It's accountability. Accountability to each other, trying to help each other. Just bouncing things off each other, sharpening, like, right? Iron sharpeneth iron. We sharpen each other, we're both better off. And with the help of each other, may we have the desire to be a Christian and desire to do what we do. If we don't have a desire, how are we supposed to win the lost? How are we? And how are we supposed to help another brother? If I'm just going along for the motions, how am I going to be a help to somebody else? If I don't really care, if I'm just going through the motions and I don't really desire to share the gospel, how am I going to help a lost soul? That is seeking. That truly is seeking. And I thought about that case downtown St. Paul. Because I went back and forth in my mind. God said, give him the track, because I had to walk to my truck, unlock it, get it, chase him down the street, half a block down. I'm like, he's already waiting. It's like, all right, I'll go do it. And this, my coworker was watching the whole thing play out. He goes, you going to give him with? I said, yeah. And I had it in my hand. And he watched the whole thing play out. I don't know what that might do for that my coworker down the road, but it's opened up a door that something might get in at a different time or date. And we need to have that desire to do that. And sad to say that we fight it daily. But the fight was going right there in that instance. The fight was going. And it's said for many times from this pulpit, but we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And That's it. Keep the main thing, the main thing. So I know desire was, it's a big topic. It can go so many different directions. This was my thought process on it, because it was asked, I heard it in a sermon. If somebody was to come up to you and ask you, why are you a Christian? And why do you do what you do? I was like, wow. Yeah, we could probably fire off some stuff, but in your mind and in your heart, do you desire to do all that stuff? How do you desire to be a Christian? And so I hope this was a help and just a little glimpse into what things I struggle with too. So that's all I got for you this morning. Looks like we got a few minutes before service, so do a little fellowship. Thanks for your tenderness.